that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
And we welcome you to Coffee with the Wranglers, and we are coming to you live this, well, it's right at the beginning of February, February 2nd, 2019, and we're coming to you live from a beautiful radio ranch, and if we could bottle the color of these sunsets, oh, how beautiful it is, and we're so thankful to be here, and we're thankful to be here on the radio with you, and thankful for you that you are joining us, and we'll bring the men on. And we'll start over in Nebraska. Good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning. Good morning.
And then we'll go down to Colorado. I don't have a name for Colorado yet, just Colorado. But good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And again, we say good morning to you, the remnant, and we say good morning to our Heavenly Father. And we say, welcome, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. And we do gather in the name of Jesus Christ. And we'll have the phone lines open here in a little bit. And lots going on across the country, across the world. And so if you have a comment or a question, we'll have the phone lines open if you'd like to call in. And John, we'll ask if you'd open us up in prayer this morning.
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, we do. We thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together to encourage one another to love, to good deeds. And Father, we thank you for all of our blessings, all of our trials and tribulations. Father, help us to be obedient, to be thankful for all things, even those things that aren't so pleasant. Father, I personally thank you for the trials and tribulations that you've put in my life recently, just to say, put your money where your mouth is, boy. And I thank you for the help that you've provided to get through those trials and tribulations. Know that it's nothing but your grace and your mercy. And power of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discernment that you give us when we, your word says we have not because we ask not. Well, we're asking, Lord. We continue to ask for understanding, hearing, and hearkening heart that we would hear ye the Lord, and that when we do hear, that we would be obedient and obey. Father, there's so much going on in the world today. There's so many lines are being drawn. The things that you told us would happen are happening. That in the last days, the tares would become bold and brazen, and that they would stick up their heads higher and higher. And Father, we witness that on a daily basis these days. They have no shame anymore, Father, those that hate you and hate your people. They're not hiding it. They're boldly proclaiming that they hate the God of Israel, and they hate anyone who would dare be a follower of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we know that the lines are being drawn, that choose ye this day who you shall serve, whether it be Baal or whether it be God. Give us the strength that we need to stand firm, that we would not give one bit, Lord, that we would be in that 70,000 that would not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, no matter what the consequences. Father, we continue to pray, just as your word says, that you would grant us grace and mercy and compassion, and that you would remember your people in your wrath. We continue to pray for those that may come to repentance, that still have a little bit of common sense, a little bit of fear of God, that they might come to their senses and fall upon their knees and cry out and ask for forgiveness. Father, that they would not only be called, but they would be chosen, and that they would understand that confessing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior and the Son of God is only the first step. The next step is, according to the Bible, you must be born again of the water and the Spirit to inherit the kingdom. So, Father, I pray that the messages that this ministry puts out from almost 40 years ago up until today, Lord, would resonate through the land, and that your people would understand the importance of being properly baptized for the remission of sins. But without repentance, without dying to their old life, without changing, it means nothing. So, Father, there are those out there in our midst that were baptized just because they were 20 years old or because they felt convicted at the time, but, Father, they haven't led the life that they need to be led. So I just pray that you would convict them, Lord, to change while there's still time. Guide and direct our thoughts today. Give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Bring to our minds the things that are important to your people, the remnant. We give you all the praise and all the glory in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the thing that's been on my mind just recently is how we have seen change just in the last, I'll say couple of years. But we're seeing change in the true change in the environment as well. And I think that this weather that we've just experienced in the Midwest is a good example of that. Several places recording 50 below zero this last week or two. 56 below zero, I think, was one of the records set in Wisconsin. And that's on the thermometer, not the wind chills. We saw wind chills like that all through the Midwest. But record-setting cold, it's certainly we expect snow and cold in the winter. But it's been more severe. Record cold was set in, I think it said, a fourth of the country, impacting tens of millions of people. And that's not really anything, I guess, to be surprised at, because we've had record wildfires. Every year they set new records in California
for the massive wildfires. We've had record hurricanes in the last 3 years. We've had record heat and drought down in the Southwest. The Four Corners area, if you look at the U.S. Drought Monitor, it's been under exceptional drought. I've got it right here in front of me. For the last 3 years, and it's not changing. It's not changing. And these feet of snow, we had Brother Zach on Wednesday night on the prayer meeting talking about how they had 20 inches of snow in just a couple days, and it was still scheduled to snow for the next couple days. And we are seeing a change. Now, we had that was one of the, whether you call it little slogans or whatever, that President Obama had when he was pushing his agenda, was change, change, change. And they were doing their very best to change this nation, certainly for the worse. But they certainly tried, but there wasn't any good change. We are seeing some changes, certainly in the environment, but I think that we are seeing some changes in the people as well. The enemy hasn't backed off. Now it's certainly, and it has been, this pushing and continuing and trying to make abortion just as normal as taking your vitamins in the morning or drinking your coffee or going into the dentist for a checkup. And that is what the antichrist, ungodly antichrists are trying to do. And if most of them are what the country considers the left and the Democrats, then so be it. You know, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's probably a duck. And the Bible premise of by their fruits you shall know them certainly applies. But it is encouraging to see that this abortion boat that they're floating has holes in it. And there are states that are voting, entire state legislatures that are voting opposing abortion. Idaho comes to mind as just the recent, that are basically outlawing it. That's just kind of been on my thoughts this morning. I thought we'd start with that, and I'm sure others have seen some of this. But I think that it's good that the states are seeing this for what it is, starting to. Not everyone has, but people are starting to. And I think that's a good change.
Well, people start to ask too. I mean, now you're talking about the governor of Virginia basically saying that the child can be born and kept comfortable sitting on the table or whatever until the doctors and the mother decide whether they want to keep the child or not, whether they're going to let it live, whether they're going to kill it, which is murder. But, you know, it's only a matter of time. If you look at the progression of the demon rat mind, that, you know, pretty soon it'll be, well, up until a year old. No, I say we should wait, you know, we should be able to kill the child up until 5 years old. Maybe 10, 15, 20, whatever it is. If that child becomes a burden to the family, financially, physically, mentally, whatever the heck else they could come up with, then that child needs to be eliminated. And that's what they're doing. And the ones that they don't get from the womb, they've decided that, you know, the indoctrination in the public school system is just gone off the rails. I mean, we can't even fathom the things that they're thinking about teaching these kids in kindergarten, that there's 15 different genders.
Yeah.
The different sexual positions in homosexuality and in transgenderism, and you can't even say this stuff. You can't even say it. I can't say it because you know why? Because I have the thing God written on my heart. But the lines are being drawn. Parents are going to have to you're going to have to decide that you're no longer going to send your kids to public school, period. And I know there's still some in rural areas that are fighting these things, but I got news for you.
as soon as the stupid Teachers Association adopts all of this stuff, you know, right now there are still ways that you can opt your children out of some of these classes, but they're writing in the bills now that they will not notify, that they don't have to notify the parents when they have the LGBTQ, ABCD, whatever other letters they add each year to their agenda. They don't have to notify the parents that those representatives will be there teaching this filth, and they cannot. You know, it's written in the bills now that they cannot opt out of these classes. You know, it's so sick. I was talking to some youth the other day that work for me, and they're saying, yeah, basically, when a woman has a child now, they're not even don't pick the sex of the child. You got to wait till that child can speak and can determine what sex they want to be. I mean, that's the ludicrousness of what's going on in the world.
Well, they think that the child is able to make up their mind when they're 2 or 3 years old, too. You know, a 2 or 3 year old, you tell me that can decide its gender in this world?
Absolutely. Well, God decided the gender, period. And we can't even stray from that point. There's different, obviously, apparatuses in both genders, period, and there's only two. So that's the thing we've got to get back to. But, I mean, these are things that, you know, if Pastor Peters was alive right now, he wouldn't even believe, I don't think, that these things are taking place in the world. And look at how fast, you know. You think that it was bad with the Obama Nation administration? I got news for you. If we lose in 2020, if we lose the presidency, then they're pulling out all the stops. They're not even hiding anything anymore. And they told us that just as much, really. I mean, they've seen how much ground they've lost from the president and the, you know, the Senate that we have now. And the fact that very possibly, you know, we may have another Supreme Court justice. They understand that stuff, but, you know, they're trying to change the laws, too. They're trying to change the fact where we don't have the Electoral College, and so that it's a popular vote, and, you know, like states like Colorado will basically vote with states like California, and states around New York will vote with New York, and states around, you know, it's just, it's ludicrous, but got news for you. They're getting this stuff passed, but, you know, the lines are being drawn.
Yes, they are. Well, and it's like everything else. If you can't win a war with direct conflict, then you know yank the underpinnings out from under your foe. And Satan realizes that our children are the future of, you know, are of God's way of doing things. I mean, that's why the Bible talks about us teaching our children and bringing them up in the way they should go, and that's why Luke 1:17 speaks about turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, and that it would, you know, prepare us as a godly people for. He says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. It's all about that. And they've declared war on our children in every way. I was just kind of making a list of the warfare that has been directed at our children. We got Bernie Sanders out there ranting and raving about a 77% estate tax. That's basically stealing from our children. That's their heritage. That's their future. That's their ability to for stewardship, and all those sort of things. You've got the smartphones and social media that are causing cognitive damage, and you've got this destruction of our climate through climate control that they're trying to do. It's not climate control, it's climate destruction. They're seeking to undo God's control over that. The Georgia Guidestones are out there talking about that. And how do you think you reduce population? You know, one of the ways is to reduce the number of children that are born and to do those sort of things. So when I see what I, and then we've got this bill in Virginia, that, and somebody was calling it the repeal life bill, which is pretty much an apt statement of what it is. I mean, here we are, they're alive, and, you know, they're going to keep them comfortable after they're born until they decide whether they want to keep it or not, and until they decide to do organ harvesting on this infant. That's sick. So, I mean, and it's nothing but an attack, an outright attack on the family, on God's family unit, and on nothing but war on our children. So, it's time for dad. And Matthew 18:6 says, you know, it'd be better if they had a millstone cast around, or put around their neck, and they were cast into the sea. I mean, there's a lot of babies that are definitely offended, and a lot of young children, not just babies. I mean, like you said, John, they're destroying the family structure through gender identification and through sexual perversion and through all of these. It just boggles the mind. And we were saying that the other day too. We were talking, my wife and I were talking, and it was like, yeah, if people like her dad and pastor were around, they would just be beside themselves with the filth and the trash and the evil intent that's just running rampant among those people. I mean, it's, wow, can you miss that stuff?
Yeah, what is it about a child, though, that makes it such a target for the enemy? It's the innocence of a child, and what does Satan hate? Satan hates innocence. Yes. That, I think the Lord showed me that the other day. I just wrote it down when I saw it, put it in my phone, but that's what it is. It's the child is innocent.
And that's why they always go after when they want a perfect sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice to the young child, because they are without
sin. Yeah, or a virgin. Yeah.
You know, and yep. I mean, you see this stuff, it's, you know, as we talk about it, you know, people with children, they need to be aware of it. They need to do some research on what their state laws are. You know, I mean, we got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But, you know, there's a lot of states that you can be in. And, I mean, you can opt out on what your children are taught. I mean, and people need to think about it. I mean, they need to make up their mind on, you know, how they can get around it, how they can fight it, what they can do. You know, because it now is the time to be thinking about that and making preparations instead of later on, you know,
that's
when
right.
It's knocking at your door. Oh, you didn't teach your children about this, and you didn't teach your children this. You're going to have to come with us. You know, and as we see that, you know, this is the whole reason. I mean, we've got an invasion coming. We've got another 2,400 caravan headed for the U.S. border. We've got them trying to attack our children.
24,000.
And we've got them trying to take away our guns. I mean, we are engaged in a full-scale war across this.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And they're trying to disarm the people at the same time. You know, it's...
Yeah, remember back in 2012 when the Democrats in their platform removed God, and then I brought this up several times, but the party... I think it was the mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villagosa or whatever. He tried to bring God back into the platform, and three times you could tell by the votes and the cheers and the yelling and the boos and everything else that they didn't want God back in the platform. Well, he reinstated it too, and people shook their fist at God. I mean, it was almost like, you know, reading some of the Bible stories, so there's really nothing new under the sun. But right now, one of the very first things that the Democrats, demon rats is what they are trying to do is to remove God again. Specifically, during the oath, so help me God, they want to remove that and replace it with, trying to find what the new... anyways, they want to, you know, again, the very first things that they're doing. I mean, this is right out of the gate. Remember that. These abortion things are right out of the gate. There's stuff in Colorado right now for sex education, like I was talking about earlier, that Parents will not be notified when the LGBTQ comes and shows up and tries to teach their kids the sick immorality, and they will not be able to opt out of these things. And you know, they're not hiding it anymore. That's the things we need to understand. And like you said, Jason, they haven't even got to gun control yet. So
Yeah, exactly.
I thought about this song this week. You know, they're coming to America, and I pulled up the lyrics for that. And I mean, you want to talk about our enemies telling us what they are going to do? I mean, this is a perfect example, and this is a prophetic song. Neil Diamond, America says, "We've been traveling far without a home, but not without a star. Free, only want to be free. We huddle close and hang on to a dream. On the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America. Never look back again, they're coming to America. Home, don't it seem so far away? Oh, we're traveling light today. In the eye of the storm, in the eye of the storm. Home to a new and shiny place, to make our beds and we'll say our grace. Freedom's light burning warm, freedom's light burning warm. Everywhere around the world, they're coming to America. Every time the flag's unfurled, they're coming to America." It goes on and on, but talk about an absolute prophetic song that is telling us what they're going to do, and it, talk about them coming from all the places across this land. They're trying. You know, you see people that that are opposing. You know, we've got people that are coming across the border, 2,400 of them come, and you watch the footage. If somebody has any ideas, you know, and thinks that it's okay, and they want to give these people, you know, asylum, and they want to give them a better chance, you look at what is going on down at the border and how, you know, all the hell that they're raising down there, you know, climbing the fence, trying to destroy it, attacking, you know, these people, they seek to steal, kill, and destroy. They're not coming here for jobs. They lie about that. They say, oh, they want to come to America and get a good job. No, they want to come and steal from people. They want to come steal. They want to come rape. They want to come and destroy. That's what they're doing.
24,000.
You know, it doesn't take a rocket science to look at these people and see what they're doing down there on the border to see that that's the truth.
Well, Mexico don't even want them in there.
It's an invasion. And, you know, they're bringing sickness, they're bringing disease, they're, you know, and they're bringing hell. And, you know, anybody that has a problem with stopping that, this is an act of warfare. I mean, it really wouldn't take that much to shut that thing down. There's a lot of countries that have minefields in between their borders because of the same thing. When they recognize that when somebody is illegally crossing a border and trying to break in, that they are an outlaw to that country. That is wrong. That is an invasion.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I heard one of the guys talking the other day, and they were saying, well, you know, 90% of those people just want to come here for a better life. It's that other 7 or 8%. And I'm like, nah. I mean, and Tijuana is a perfect example of that. I mean, in Tijuana, which is, you know, just like right across an imaginary line with a pretty decent fence in there now from San Diego, Tijuana's murder rate is 70 times what San Diego's is. And that's where all of these illegal aliens are headed for, is, well, most of them anyways, are headed for Tijuana. So, you know,
where the wall is built too, though.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. That's why it's...
San Diego's not 70 times. If the wall was there, it would be the same.
Yeah, and it pretty much was before they built that wall. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing thing to look at. So, you know, we are embattled, and I think it's that, you know, there's a lot of people that, well, what can you do about it? And it's like, well, I'll tell you one thing you can do. You can get on your knees and pray to God, and you can be angry and sin not.
Amen.
I mean, this needs to stop. So,
amen. You want to know about these people coming across the border, read the book of Joel and see what it is. And, you know, it'll tell you exactly what's there and what we are seeing. And he says in Joel 2:12, "Therefore, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and rend your heart and not your garments, And we hear about that saying, and it gets thrown out there, but it's the book of Joel. It's the invasion. When the people were being invaded by locusts without number, and those were not, those were people, folks. Those locusts were people. And that's what we have today. Another invasion. And hopefully the people are waking up.
Yeah, to strip the land of anything of value.
That's right. That's right.
Like you said, like Bill says, the different locusts came and
did different things. That's right. Yeah. And Isaiah 52 says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and that is one of the reasons that we continue forward with this ministry. We continue to put out the need to awaken and what you have to do. You have to not only wake up, but you have to get dressed. And the dress you have to have, the clothing you have to have, is Christ. And that goes back to what you prayed about at the beginning, John, about baptism. Galatians tells us that when we're baptized into Christ, we are clothed with Christ. That is the answer. It is, you know, Joel tells us, repent and return to God. And Isaiah tells us that when we wake up, that's what we have to do. And that's what this nation has to do. And there are some that have done that. The remnant has. The masses, no, they are still asleep. They still, if they do have children, they throw them into the public school. And who knows what happens to them there. But they have to wake up. And we continue to put
one of the big,
this message out,
you know,
to wake the people up.
One of the things exciting about the public school system is in Florida, of all states, DeSantis signed an executive order scrapping Common Core. That was huge.
That's huge.
Yes.
That is.
You know?
Well, you know what this bill does here, at least in Colorado, and I think other states are opting into it as well, but it used to be that the charter schools were exempt from some of these psychotic things that they're mandating in the school system. And part of this this bill here, at least locally in Colorado, is no longer allows the charter schools to opt out of the LGBTQ mandatory teaching. And you know that the 15 genders in kindergarten is where they're showing them. And these Antichrist demons, they they come only to steal, kill, and destroy. They've written books, curriculum on how these teachers can teach them about that, and they've done it with psychologists to manipulate the minds of these children, because you know we all know that at certain age, up until a certain age, your mind is a sponge and it's hungering and thirst for truth. Well, it used to be that at least a percentage of what that sponge was absorbing was things of God, was biblical, was at least moral. And they figured this stuff out, these psychologists and whatever else. They know how to manipulate the minds of these children. And then when they mandate it, when they make it mandatory indoctrination centers, and we've talked about it for years, and the problem is, you know, just here in the last few years, they realized that, wait a minute, we're not making enough progress. This stuff's not happening fast enough. The enemy, which is the Christians and those who fear God, have made some leaps and bounds in destroying some of the things that they've accomplished. And they're like, we gotta expedite this thing. We gotta throw it into overdrive. And that's what they're doing.
Absolutely. Well, and the attack on rewiring or redoing their mind is very broad, because it's Common Core. I just read a really good article on social media and smartphones, and you know they've done several studies and they found that it's more addictive than tobacco or alcohol. Leads to loneliness and aggression, impairs cognitive development, and according to some research may kill you in the long run. And it mostly affects children that are like, I think the age was, I don't remember exactly, but I think it was 12 and under. If you are letting your children at that age do a lot of, and you know, you see it all the time. These parents, they give these kids a smartphone for a babysitter. And, the TV was terrible. And now we've got that going on. And, it's rewiring their cognitive development. It impairs it and, dumbs them down. We talk about the dumbing down. And, one of the things that I thought was not interesting, the word is terrifying, horrifying. I don't like terrifying, but horrifying is the fact that there's now a company out there. They've got five clinics called Ambrosia is the name of the clinic. And the guy who owns its name is Jesse Karmazin. And, you know, for $8,000, you can go in and get young blood transfused into you. They're actually selling. They've got five clinics across the country. And they're actually draining blood out of these kids and selling it to increase your livelihood and everything else. And, you know, the Bible tells us that power is in the blood. And the Bible tells us that, you know, Christ's blood purifies and sets us free, and that we're to be covered in his blood and to be those sort of things. So now they've got their own version of this, you know, their own sick way to do something with it. And of course, you got to make profit on everything, so they're doing that too, and it's just sick.
I had an opportunity yesterday. I was listening to local radio station, and it's a show of a lawyer that used to be on several years ago. Was kind of a duo of one who was a liberal, one that was conservative, and now it's just supposedly conservative. But he's always promoting Catholicism and, you know, saying how great Catholics are, you know, the Catholic religion is and this and that. Well, I'm listening to it, and I'm driving, and all these people are calling in and say, you know, I can't understand it. People are more outraged at pulling a tree sapling out in the forest or killing a kitten or a puppy than they are about, you know, a human baby that's born and outside the womb and living. And, you know, and one after one, you know, one after another, sorry, one after another, you got these callers calling in. I can't understand it. I can't understand it. Well, so I called in and I said, what do you mean you can't understand it? You can't understand that there's those that come to steal, kill, and destroy that are of their father, the devil? You can't understand that there's
good for you
under the sun? You can't understand that this is nothing different than Moloch? What's the first commandment? So I asked the guy, what's the first commandment? He's like, and I said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What does that tell you? There's more than one God. Guess what? The Bible also tells you that the God of this world is Satan. And guess what? We get power from our God, God Almighty, through prayer and praise and worship and fasting.
Yes.
And they get power from their God through pain and suffering and death. And let me tell you something. They know that this is it. This is their last chance, and they're pulling out all the stops. And now they're not even happy with just killing the child in the womb. They've got to kill the child when it's out of the womb because they need the power from their God. So why don't you get it through your head? There's nothing new under the sun. There's 80% of churches of Laodicea in the land. And, well, it's settled down. Yeah, I said, guess what? In your fate, your prized Catholic church is leading them all. There's a reason in Revelation God says, he says, come out of her, my people, so that you don't partake of their destruction. Guess what? The time is running short, you know, and then they try to cut you off, but it must have been God's grace and mercy because the Holy Spirit was flowing and they kept going. And then I'm listening, and you got, you know, people calling
us
like, wow, that makes some sense. Yeah, wow, I never even thought of that before, you know. So the things that we know that within our group, you know, we're privileged to know. God's shown us things. Our pastor showed us things. But there's so many people out there that don't understand any of it. They have no idea.
That's right.
And when you bring these things up, it forces them to think, wait a minute, really? There might be a group of people who don't just Jesus love me? We're not all going to heaven? No, that's not what the Bible says. You know, and then I got the one good punchline at the end. I said, you know something? I knew an old preacher, and he had a perfect saying. He said, you may love your preacher now, but you're going to hate him on Judgment Day. And that's what I closed it with. And that's the truth. Bottom line is, you're going to these feel-good churches.
Yep.
You may feel good when you get there, and you may feel good when you're sitting in the pew, and you may feel good when you leave. But got news for you. 2 hours in church, in a church of Laodicea that isn't teaching you anything about the truth of the Word of God, ain't going to help you on Judgment Day.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I was talking with Zach last night, and you know, he says he really appreciated. I wasn't on last week, but he said he really appreciated what you had to say last week, John. You know, and we were talking about it, and he said these people that they want to come out there and they want to steal people from your ministry when they have 80% of the people already agree with everything that they say, or 90% of everything that you say, and then they're going to come try to steal them. He says, you know what? It takes somebody with some real balls to go out there and try to bring somebody that has no clue out of the world and try to teach them the truth. That's what we need to be doing as Christians. You know, we need to get out there and let people know what we've been privileged to you know, being able to see the light on. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And sometimes it doesn't take, sometimes you don't have to say very much and people just recognize. I know I was on a trip this week for several days, and how I could influence people more than anything was praying for them. You know, when we went and got together, you know, in the evenings, we'd pray as a family, and when people would hear that, and they started asking questions. And when they started asking questions, then you had them. When we went to a meal and sat down and were eating, you know, everybody watched, and, you know, me and my family, we bowed our heads and we prayed, and when we were done praying, they were asking questions. Sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot, but you got to open your mouth and do some footwork and say something.
Amen. Amen.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, the reality is, if you're not offending somebody right now,
walk with God, then you ain't doing enough. That's the bottom line.
That's
if you're
right.
Not being persecuted for the things that you're doing, if your church isn't being persecuted for the things that you're doing, then you're not doing enough. That's it, period.
Amen. Amen. We are in the times. You know, the book of Jonah talks about this. Those that were in Nineveh that God spared because they repented, because they were told, and they repented, he spared them. And at the end of it, Jonah was upset with that. And we have many Jonahs today that are upset that, yeah, people may come out of this. But God says, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, where there are thousands of people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left? And that's where we're at again today, because generations now have not been taught this word. Generations have not been taught about God and about anything that's accurate in the Bible. Certainly not the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The enemy, they know it. They just deny it, and they do their best. They do their best to teach against it. And those things have been brought up today. One of the disgusting things I saw in the news this week is regarding these cross-dressers that come in and speak in the schools and in the libraries, that they're pushing and promoting, like you said, John, to the kindergartners. And this drag queen hour that they have.
Drag queen.
Yeah. Well, they've got it. There's a drag queen, and you know what the name it goes by? Not, see, you can't have Jesus Christ in the schools, but this filthy drag queen, son of hell, daughter of hell, whatever it is, goes by Annie Christ. And don't think that psychologists don't understand what they do. That they put that in, and they as a substitute for Jesus Christ, and that's what they are pushing and promoting on these kindergartners. And
well, it stands for Antichrist, and they're telling the truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
well,
it is a religion.
Local radio stations. I'm pretty sure the local radio stations cringe when they hear that John from Loveland's calling, but I think, you know. Because we, because we're doing what we're told to do. I mean, I remember Pastor Peter, you guys remember as well, he would say, it takes so little sometimes. He was listening to the radio one time, and they were spewing all this filth and stuff, and he just called the radio station, and he got a hold of the program manager, who wasn't even listening to what was going out, and he just said, you condone all of this filth that's going on the radio? And he said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? He said, well, listen, and the manager or whatever, he started listening, and he cut it off right then and there, and he stopped it, and, you know, and Dad used to say, it takes so little sometimes, and that's the truth. It takes so little sometimes, but the reason why we're in the predicament we are is we fell asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel. We've let these Antichrist bastards get into these positions of authority, and more than anything, we haven't battled them in the spiritual realm.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm just so thankful when I see somebody stand up. I know Washington State's been passing a lot of gun bills and everything, and we've got a county sheriff there listening to a interview with him on the radio, and I think his name was Bob Songer, but he's an elderly man, you know, but he stood up and said, I don't care if you pass that bill or not, I'm not enforcing it. That's not going to happen, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know. And you're going, thank you, Jesus. I mean, there's one that stood up and said, I'll fill the gap. And, there are those all around, and all we have to do is fill the gap and pray and expose, you know, those cockroaches don't like the light. So, I Dawn Adams, I think Richard said her name was, she was one of the co-sponsors of that Virginia abortion bill. And she said later, she walked it back. She said, oh, well, I didn't read it. I didn't understand. You know, you're a co-sponsor. I mean, so you don't, and since over 80% of everybody who's elected up there are in the legislatures and everything are lawyers, you know, what's the first thing a lawyer will tell you whenever you go to do anything?
Read it.
Be sure and read it. Read it. But they don't follow their own advice. And so the next question is what was the motivation behind co-sponsoring that bill and making it pass? If you didn't read it, if you didn't believe it, then what part of your soul did you trade away? What did you trade it for? For power? For ease? For what demonic bauble did you trade that for when you jumped in bed with that filth, you know? And so anyways, there's a lot of that going on, but that's what we...
Well, it's like the contracts that we sign when we check that we're going to, you know, agree to the terms and conditions that are 85 pages long and none of us read them. And just like PayPal, you know, how they can cut you off and seize your funds. But did you ever read the 85 pages? No, because it's written by a damn lawyer. And it's the same way with some of these bills.
It is.
They're written by damn lawyers, and then they put the meat, they hide the meat in that. And, you know, just look at Obamacare. What was that, 2,000 pages? You have to pass it before you...
Yeah, that's what we were told. We have to pass it before we can read it and implement it and understand it. But it's good for us. And, no, not at all. Not at all.
Well, and there's no plain speaking in any of that kind of stuff. I mean, it's like 1984 George Orwell stuff. It's all doublespeak. And, you know, God says his way is direct and simple, and he says what he means and means what he says, and you better believe it.
Yeah.
And we see it. Yeah, so.
I was talking to some local men here recently, and I said, you know, because God's really convicted me on this deal where, you cast out one demon and it comes back sevenfold, like I talked about last week. But how many wolves in sheep's clothing stand in the front of their church every Sunday and say, does anybody want to ask Jesus Christ into their heart? And they have their altar calls and they bring them up there and you know, they ask Jesus Christ into their heart or whatever. So they may confess their sins. They may get to a certain point, but they never take them any further. They never tell them what it takes to be a Christian, to be obedient, to get out of that life of sin, to be washed clean. And born again of the water and the spirit, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you do have discernment and can understand the Word of God and get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And, you know, those people qualify for better to have a millstone around your neck and cast into the deep sea, because they are causing them to stumble. And you'd be surprised at the looks you get from some of these people and starting to think that,
yes.
Well, wait a minute, you know, that makes some sense here. You know, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And that's the reality of it. Our people don't have the knowledge that we once had. And there's generations of people who have not been educated about the Word of God and about the truth of God. And, you know, there's one thing, if our pastor was to hang his hat on any one thing, it would be that he would teach what it meant to be saved. He would teach baptism for the remission of sins.
Amen.
No matter
right.
what the consequences. And, you know, we can say, you know, many times we said that that's the shibboleth. It is the shibboleth, but we also have to be careful that just because that's not the first thing that's pronounced in a book or in a teaching or something, that we don't just discard it all and we glean from it the things that we can, the truth that we can,
right.
and then we do our best to try to teach those that we come in contact the truth that we know. And then together we're both stronger.
Amen.
If we learn from them and they learn from us, then we're both stronger.
Amen. There's no Christian today.
I was thinking you're talking about the, you know, showing their colors and they tear sticking their heads up high. Marlon just sent me an article and it says religious leaders bless opening of new Planned Parenthood abortion clinic and call it sacred work. And this is in Washington.
Yeah, in Ohio. Yeah.
And it was the newest one that just opened up, and it says DC reports religious leaders representing more than 20 groups participated in the ceremony inside the new mega facility, which opened in September. The new abortion clinic facility is located next to Two Rivers Public Charter School, a sought-after elementary school in DC, much to the outrage of pro-lifers and parents. And basically, they came together to sanctify it for the sanctification of life.
God, what a crock. You know, God said, my people prophesy falsely, my prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. And the filth, the doublespeak that comes out of that, you know, they might be religious leaders, but they're not Christian leaders. That's for sure. That is for sure. Wow.
Well, yeah, and that's just the same thing as calling good evil and evil
yes.
good.
Yes.
You know, Isaiah 5:20, I mean, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, and who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness.
Right.
Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And, you know, you read the stories of those women who have those abortions, and their whole lives are turned upside down. I mean, talk about bitter. You know, we've talked about bitterness, but... that's a long drink at the well Amen. Of bitterness.
It
wow.
is. It is. It is.
You know, just this week, Wednesday morning prayer breakfast that I meet with anywhere from 10 to 14 local men and try to share with them things that have been shared with us over the years. And, you know, one of them was all excited, got back from a retreat, and they were talking about how this group of youth just is going to, you know, wants to be baptized here in the next few months or whatever, and they're probably 16, 17, and I just said, well, you know, you really need to make sure that they understand that they're entering into a covenant with God, and you know, the Bible is pretty clear that the age of accountability is 20, but at this point, you'd be lucky if you get them to even believe the fact that it's important that they understand that there's scriptures that warn against making these covenants with God unless you're taking them seriously. And I said, there's three scriptures, you know, that I read to anybody before I baptize them, and gave them those scriptures. And, you know, we have a PDF file of all of the scriptures regarding baptism and then also the warning scriptures. And I said, just recently, God's really convicted me that we need to be very careful that we're not bringing people into the light and then not continuing to nurture them or not affirming that they're serious about their walk, because we're not doing them any favors. We're really we're hindering them more, and God will hold us accountable. And
yes,
you know, they really started to think about that, and they thanked me for that. And I said, well, I'll send you, you know, the message I did last week, and the one that the Lord's convicted me to do again this week. And but those are things that, you know, and a lot of times it's naivety. You know, we just don't, we don't know. We think that just anything good, you know, towards the light is good, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that, you know, better to not have partaken of the fruit of righteousness and then fallen away, you know, and
that's right.
Several scriptures that the second condition becomes worse than the first.
Amen.
When you basically blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You know, you understand that the benefits of the cross, and then you walk away from them, or you know, the worst thing is these people who come up and, like I said, and do an altar call, and then they think they're good to go. They can live their life just the way they've been going, and now they're saved. And, you know, that's the saddest part.
Amen. You know, Pastor's got a message, John, that talks on that very thing. It's called, Don't Put Jesus on an Ox Cart. Because that's what David, that's what King David did of old. He put Jesus on an ox cart, and you can't do that. So, folks, if you're not familiar with that story, with that teaching, it's just what Brother John has been saying here. We have that on CD by Pastor Peters. Don't put Jesus on an ox cart. And it it gets you thinking. It makes you realize. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. We thank you, the Remnant, for joining us. And we want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. John, I'm looking forward to that message, that live message from you as well. And the timeless pulpit truth that we'll have, these prophetic messages that were preached, like you said, John, up to 40 years ago, that we see are coming true today or have come true. And we are now living them in our lifetime. So looking forward to that. You can join us at church, folks, at scripturesforamerica.org, starting at 8:30 Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we do encourage you to join us, to not forsake the assembly, to come for the fellowship that we have. And so we encourage you to do that. Going to go out with stout-hearted men, because that's what we need. And we have 10. He says, you give me 10, and I'll give you 10,000 more.
Stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more.